The reading this evening comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, and later verses 20 to 21. And this can be found on page 220 in the Church Bibles. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march round the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in."
I feel as though I'm trespassing on the Harrison show tonight. We walk in, coffee, Trevor and Barbara. Bible reading, Trevor. Prayer time, Barbara. You need to learn to play the guitar, I think, Trevor, and then you can have the whole set. Oh, the trumpet. As long as he doesn't march around St. Paul's Church 7 times. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fun of being here. We enjoy it. But we enjoy having you here in our midst. Help us tonight, each one of us, to learn more of you within our own lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During these summer weeks, we're whipping through the book of Joshua at quite an alarming rate. Last week, we got to the very critical point, one of the best known points in the whole Bible, where the children of Israel, having had all the years in the wilderness, finally crossed the River Jordan and were in the Promised Land. The waters rolled back, you may remember. Over they went, and there they were in Canaan. Ahead of them was the city of Jericho. The manna they'd been having in the wilderness, you remember, every day. That awful, awful terrain. We tend to think of wildernesses as sort of grassy things, but the wilderness we're talking about in Israel, as many I think will probably know if you've been out there, is absolutely awful, absolutely awful, blazingly hot, stone, cactus, and that's about it. Awful, absolutely awful. And so God, day by day, supplied bread, manna, to the children of Israel. But now they're in the Promised Land, they're in the land of milk and honey. Over to you, says God. The manna stopped. But the towns within Canaan were terrified. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they'd crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. And Joshua had sent some spies earlier on. You may remember, before they crossed Jordan, he sent some people ahead. And they went into Jericho and they came back and said, "The land is there, it's ready for us, we can take it on, it's ours." Bear in mind also, if you were in Jericho at the time, about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. We tend to have a picture of sort of a little group of people straddling their way through the wilderness. 40,000 armed for battle were the numbers that crossed through Jordan. And so the people of Jericho weren't looking at a bedraggled lot by any manner of means. They were looking at a very powerful lot of people. And therefore, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. The whole place was in lockdown. I was intrigued as I was reading this passage, and it highlighted to me a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching at 9 o'clock, and one of the members of the congregation came to me afterwards and said, "Has God ever spoken to you?" And I said, "Yes." No. "Have you ever heard his voice, a booming voice in a room?" I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "I haven't either." And I think probably he's the oldest member of our congregation, and he'd been following Jesus Christ, a lover of God, for many, many years. He said, "I've never heard a live voice. God has spoken to me, but I've never heard a voice." And we'll come back to him in a moment. But when I looked at this passage, verse 1 in chapter 4, the Lord said. Verse 15, the Lord said. Chapter 5, the Lord... God seemed to have a sort of day-to-day conversation with Joshua. God's voice was the norm to Joshua. He spoke to him. But he hasn't spoken to me in that way at all. And it set me thinking as to how God speaks to us today. There's that story of the capture of Jericho, which we've just read. That's the passage of tonight. I could probably preach on that, but it's a story which we've almost all of us heard in Sunday school, let alone since, of the troops going round 6 days, and on the seventh day, go round 7 times, blast the horns, shout, and the walls fell down. The obstacle of Jericho was removed, and that was it. But I found myself saying, how does God speak to me, to us today? And let me give you just 5 little hints that I personally am aware of. When I'm coming up with these topics, there are ways in which God has spoken to me. Firstly, and you'd probably expect me to say that, I'm preaching, it's the Bible. And Psalm 119, verse 105, has got this wonderful verse that said that the Bible lights up your path. And I'm going to come back to this path later on because it's important to me. God lights up the path, shows the way. Why? How? Well, in the Bible, they're laid down very clear basic principles. And I mean, being a little bit silly about it, but if you think, should I, shouldn't I steal that? The answer is no, you shouldn't. The Bible says you don't steal. Now, I know that's a silly illustration, but you can dig in and in and in, and the Bible has an enormous amount to say about the way we should live. An enormous amount. And if we take that on board, God is speaking to us. He's telling us what we should and shouldn't do. And occasionally there are very special verses. I've certainly had the experience, and I know many have, occasionally, where there's a particular issue, a particular obstacle, a particular problem, an issue which you're thinking through, and you look at your perhaps daily Bible reading, and there's a verse there that you've read many times before, but this time it means something very real to you. It answers the issue that's in your mind. I have heard people, it's never happened to me, who've opened the Bible and put their finger on a verse and lo and behold, that could happen. Of course it could happen, but that isn't the norm as far as I'm concerned. But the Bible, without any doubt at all, speaks to us today. I'm going to go on to a couple of more specific points shortly. How does God speak today? He speaks through prayer. And the first line there, engage with God. We are so good at praying, i.e. shouting at God, or at least ordering God. This is the shopping list for today. Prayer, I believe, is engaging with God. And therefore, we need to spend time where we are talking with him. We're certainly telling him of the obstacles in our life. We're thanking him, I hope, for some of the joys and blessings we've had in the course of the day or the previous few days. But we spend some time then just quietly, we often call it meditating, but giving God a chance to speak. It's all well and good saying God doesn't speak to me, but if we never give him an opportunity, then how is he going to? As we pray, let us spend time not just us speaking to him, but giving him a chance to speak to us. Matthew 7 says, ask and you will receive. And people have said to me on a number of occasions, I've asked and haven't received. Well, no, you haven't received. Why? Because what you're asking is what you want. You're ordering God to give you a new bicycle, and he says, no, you can't have a new bike. And you will have experienced this with children. They will ask for things, and if it's right for them, you as parents will do your very best to give them. But if it isn't right, you don't give them. Ask and you will receive. As we speak to God, as we listen to God, and prayer in many ways is us listening to God and then asking, bringing things to him, which we know is his will because we've been talking with him. All things are possible. Of course, all things are possible with God. But it's no use then saying, but Lord, all things are possible with you. What about that bike? That isn't the way it is. How does God speak today? God speaks to us as we give him time and opportunity to actually do that. It's his will, and we're going to come back to that in a moment. That prayer in Gethsemane is one that is so crucial to me, where Jesus knew what he was about to face and said, Lord, if it's possible, can you take it away? But not my will, your will be done. We'll come back to that in a moment. It's God's will to be done. How does God speak today? Well, this is one which is a very real practical one to me. Nudging. And back to our friend from the 9 o'clock service, dear old Tom. He said, my wife and I were talking about a particular issue before we went to bed. And went to bed, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was in my mind. When we got up in the morning, had a cup of tea, it was in my mind. It wouldn't go away. And we felt in the course of that day that God wanted us to help in that situation. I don't know what the situation was, but they got their checkbook out and sent a check because God wouldn't let that go away. The nudging, the pushing, it was there. So many ideas we get in our head and they've gone. But where things stick in our head, and picture here of dear Simon and the bishop at his licensing a few weeks ago. I haven't actually sat and spoken with Simon in any great detail, but I'm aware of the fact that the thought of St. Richard's had been in Simon's mind for many months. Normally, as happened with Adam coming here, he may well have been praying and deciding the time had come to move, sees an advert, St. Paul's, replies, and within weeks, he's signed up. That would be the norm. But as I understand it, Simon had this St. Richard's thing coming back at him. Somebody said to me they'd spoken to him many months before the move, and he sort of said, well, don't say anything, but God wouldn't let this go. And Simon got to the point, I believe, of saying, this is the right move for me. This is what God wants for me. Not the one most of us would have even dreamt of. An academic, perhaps going to a college, led a church the size of ours, wonderful opportunity to go and lead another large church. But no, what God has said by persistently just nagging is St. Richard's Ham is the place for you. And that's why I believe there'll be massive blessing in that church over the next few years, because I'm clear that God has spoken to Simon Copeland and said, that is the place for you. Even though it seemed an unlikely thing. God nudges. How does God speak today? He's spoken to me on many occasions through other people. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. Let me give you two illustrations, and I've probably mentioned these before because they've been such crucial parts in my life. When I left school, I loved doing maths, arithmetic. Accounting was pretty obvious in some ways, but in those days, if you were good at maths, you did physics and chemistry. Maths, physics and chemistry said straight to Liverpool University and do engineering, and I just followed the track, which would have been a complete disaster. You know, I struggled to change a light bulb, let alone be an engineer. But that was the route, and I was just so swept in. And then there was a particular guy, a Bible class leader, who I talked to and trusted. And I've used the word here, mentor. I think all of us should have a mentor. Now, it may be husband and wife, that the two of them can sit, talk and pray, and you can speak the truth to each other and pull people back or push them forward. I have a couple of people that I sit and talk with and open up my life to them, and they tell me exactly what they feel is appropriate for me. I believe God speaks that way. I believe God speaks, and certainly as this Bible class leader listened and said, why are you doing engineering? Why aren't you doing accountancy? And it was like an explosion in my mind. I'd never thought about it. And I cancelled the university place and signed up with an accounting firm. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Accountancy is a wonderful profession. And there's no need to laugh. People this morning giggled when I said that. I've had a wonderful time. But that was directly God speaking to me through an individual. And then if I just move on a few years, I did my training and was all set to move on with the firm that I was with up in Liverpool. I did every summer youth camps. The Great Crusader Movement, or Urban Saints, as they now call themselves. And at one of them, one of the other leaders was an accountant in a firm in London. Well, we chatted. I didn't know him really very well. Some months later, I got a letter right out of the blue saying, we're looking for a bright young lad, a Christian accountant, and I thought of you. Would you be interested? And that 50 years ago, it was quite a move, Liverpool to London. We modestly called it the brain drain. But it was God. God speaking through that individual who I just met indirectly. We hadn't discussed accounting, careers, anything. But my, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful 30-odd years he gave me in a wonderful firm with a wonderful group of people. God spoke to me through that individual. And I believe that we need to be open in saying to God, Lord, this is my problem. This is the issue. Let me be attentive. Let me listen to what other people may say. And finally, I don't know whether you know this word, gumption. It's a bit of a northern word, I think. Well, I see a few smiles around. How does God speak today? And, you know, there's a great danger that we, day by day, see the obstacles in front of us and say, perhaps that isn't God's will. And we stand back. Gumption means use your common sense. And if God is leading us down a path, I believe we should carry on down that path and say to God, if I'm going wrong, stop me. If we're in doubt, just move ahead and say to God, pull me back. This is a wonderful verse in Acts 16. When Paul, who was doing his missionary work, forming churches, finding believers all over the place, when he came to the border of Mysia, he and his gang tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to. And if you look at the next verse, it says exactly the same. Paul was in full flight in his missionary work. He was using his gumption. He was carrying on down the route that God was blessing. But the Spirit of Jesus stopped him. We don't know. Some theologians say it was perhaps a health issue. Who knows? But God said, stop. God spoke to Paul and said, stop. The result was, instead of going to Mysia and Bithynia, he went across to Macedonia, and the church in Philippi and Thessalonica and so on all came into being. How does God speak today? I believe that if we move forward in the path that we're on, that he has laid down for us, and say to him, okay, a bit of doubt here, stop me if I'm wrong, shut the door. I believe we can trust him to do that, that he will in fact speak to us in that situation. Just a little tail end to that particular topic. Will all obstacles disappear? We're into the world where people expect that as Christians, you know, God will remove. Jericho will just disappear. Well, it wasn't like that in the New Testament at all. Jesus had a tough life. The disciples had a tough life. Many of them were murdered because of their faith. I don't believe the Bible at any stage says obstacles disappear. In fact, in 2 Timothy here, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The obstacles don't disappear. What happens is God sees us through the obstacles, sees us round the obstacles, provides a way through. And this is where we need to be quite clear that we're looking at what God's will is. And back with my verse in Luke, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Those obstacles will be there. And all of us sitting here tonight will have had and may at this moment be facing an obstacle and not perhaps clear how we're going to get round that obstacle. But God will see us through or round. Doesn't remove it, he sees us through it. That path that we're going to see a picture of in a moment is a path that carries on through life. We don't suddenly stop. God sees us through. And he sees us through in remarkable and extraordinary ways sometimes. I said this morning that a friend of mine felt he was in a deep pit. Woke up in the middle of the night, cold sweat, how can I get out of this? Next morning had an email from a friend saying, God is wider than any issue. God is higher. God is deeper than any pit. That was the email. A few hours after that traumatic night, God provides the way through. God provides the way out. And then finally, back to this path. There it is, wending its way. God has a plan, I believe, for each one of us. And beginning of the chapter that Trevor read, the Lord said to Joshua, see, not, don't worry, I will deliver Jericho. He says, see, I have delivered. The deal's done. The deal's done. God has a plan for your life, has a plan for my life. And that path wends its way through. And I, every night, just say to God, thank you as I look back, and the path of my life has got more behind it than it's got in front of it, I suspect. But there's so many things, twists and turns, but that path, God has walked with me. I've walked with him, or aimed to, times when we do stray away. And the verse in Psalms, that there's a light. God has a plan. If you are prepared to say to him, I'll hand you my life, he will see you through on this path. And he won't let us down. He won't let us down. We know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, have been called according to his purpose. One of these misquoted verses where people only quote the first bit. We know that in all things God works for good. Well, he hasn't worked for good for me, people. So, well, yes, but read the rest of the verse. God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. As we are walking that path with him, all things will work together for good. It may be that today isn't a good day, and I can look back on numbers of days in my life that I would much prefer not to have had. They were unpleasant days for various reasons. But the good is God will see us through. God will see us through. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, have been called according to his purpose. God will not abandon us, says Paul. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, not destroyed. Obstacles, yes, yes. But God, on this path, will see the way through, see the way round for us. And again, as I pray night by night, this path stops at this point. How much further in my life it's going to go on, I've no idea. What's going to be on that path, I've no idea. But I'm confident that just as we find in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I'm going ahead of you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that there's a mansion in heaven for you. I thank God that that path, I believe, is going to lead me right to the door of the mansion in heaven that's got Lynn McCauley written on it. God won't abandon us. God will see us through. God will see us through. And as we keep in touch with him, he will speak to us. So I've just come up with a few ways there tonight. There's other ways as well. But God will speak to us, will see us through. Because that's God. That's God. He has a plan. And the obstacles will be there. But overcoming the obstacles is a matter of us being in touch with him and allowing him to see us round or through and not hitting them and stopping us in our tracks. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have a plan for each one of us. Thank you that you speak to each one of us in different ways. Thank you that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called by you and are following the path that you've laid down. Father, thank you. So be with us in this week ahead and in the days ahead. Help us to appreciate that we'll never be abandoned, that you will be there beside us on the path, however great the obstacles may seem. You'll be there. Heavenly Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.